Welcome to the Think TLH podcast, brought to you by the Knight Creative Communities Institute. This is a show about innovators, creative thinkers, and individuals that are making transformative change here in Tallahassee, Florida. Today we have with us Tom Block. He began his sportscasting career in high school and now reports at his alma mater, Florida State University. Not to mention, Tom managed the university's most ambitious fundraising campaign entitled Raise the Torch. Their goal was to raise $1 billion. Stick around to hear how Tom's passion brought him to Tallahassee and how FSU's fundraising campaign is having far-reaching impacts. Tom, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
What led you to Tallahassee? Why Tallahassee?
Florida State is how I got here. And there's many people that probably can check this box that they came to Tallahassee to go to school and never wound up leaving. I didn't think that's the way it would happen, but I guess in anything, but especially in broadcasting, you go where the jobs are. And so when I got out of school, I was doing sports talk here in town, and that led to an opportunity at Channel 27. And then, you know, from there it expanded and I got involved with the Florida State Radio Network. I just ended up putting roots down. And because I like it. It's a good community. I wear dual hats, so I did start as a sportscaster here in town, and I still keep my toes dipped in those waters. But I've been a university employee for 15 years in roles outside of sports, including, as you just mentioned, the campaign manager most recently. So, but there's always an electricity that goes with the fall. I work on campus, so it seems natural when you get the students back. But just in town, when Florida State and Florida A&M have home games going on, the students are back, you can feel the buzz.
You really can. And many people think of you as the voice of the Seminoles. They associate your voice with those of so many of our popular sporting activities.
Well, I'll give Gene Deckerhoff, he's got that title of the voice of the Noles. This is actually Gene's 40th year, but I guess what it is I've been around a while now. So the hair is gray. People have heard me for a while. And if you've been in Tallahassee, I used to be on Channel 27 back in the day, which interestingly, I still run into people from time to time at Publix or wherever, and they'll say, are you Channel 6 or 27? I'll say, well, it was 27. They say, I watch you every night. And I left there in 1998, and I still run into folks. So it has been 20 years, but I guess you sort of take for granted when you do that, that you really do come into people's living rooms for a while. Now we're in a different era, but back then it was a little bit more regular.
You're really part of their home and their everyday things that they do.
Which I'm always flattered when I run into that conversation, but it does surprise me because I think it's been two decades.
What do you like best about Tallahassee?
Probably that it's not South Florida. That sounds bad. I grew up and had a great experience in South Florida, but you know, after a while, the hustle and bustle gets old and you kind of just get used to just the more laid back nature of what this is. It's also obviously, as everybody knows, it looks a lot different than what much of Florida looks like when you see what the landscape looks like here. So I think more at the heart of that is there's good people here, and it's fun to see this town grow into what it's growing into. I mean, which has come a long way just since I've been here. And for people who grew up here, they've seen even greater change. And in my book, you know, just about all of it's positive. So it's exciting.
It is exciting to see all the change happening, even in our community as a whole. But then looking at FSU, you know, they've done so much with College Town, the new business school that's being developed. And I'm sure with y'all's fundraising activities, there's even more plans in place for future growth.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And, you know, the campaign was a milestone for the university to set a goal of $1 billion and to be able to hit that mark. You know, now the fundraising will always continue. I mean, that's the nature of higher ed. But there are some exciting things there. And when you run into alumni or donors that haven't been back to campus for a while, that's when you really sense it. So, I mean, if you go back, I don't even know when the change was made, but some people haven't been back since Woodward no longer goes through from Tennessee down to Pensacola. You know, that's
wow.
A pedestrian walkway. But then you run into others and they'll see where Florida High used to sit, and now it's been the College of Medicine for years. So that whole corner has changed. There's just been so much growth on campus. Now the main entrance off of Tennessee Street is changing because the Earth Atmospheric Ocean Sciences building is going up. There's going to be a new student union. College Town really completely flipped that whole portion of campus. I mean, and it led to all the growth on the Gaines Street corridor. The business school is going to be located, sort of opposite the law school, if you will, on the other side of the Civic Center. And when that comes out of the ground, that really, to me, that'll, and it's already flipping there, but I mean, you kind of have a bridge from where Collegetown is all the way down into the Cascades Park area once that goes.
So the fundraising campaign, we know this is a new record for the university. How will some of these funds have a far-reaching impact on students or the alumni?
Well, the answer to that is you do campaigns for a number of reasons, but at the core, it's for impact. And so 1,304 scholarships were created or enhanced during this campaign, and about 100 professorships were created or enhanced. So on the scholarship side, obviously that's giving students an opportunity to come to school that maybe couldn't have afforded it, or students who could now have their experience enhanced because there's more funds. Maybe you don't have to get a part-time job. Maybe you can do some experiential learning and do some travel, those sorts of things. On the professor side, those dollars help Florida State recruit and retain top faculty, which all ties to where the university wants to go in terms of becoming a top 25 public university. Beyond that, this campaign is going to be remembered for the generosity of Mrs. Jan Moran and the Jim Moran Foundation with a $100 million gift, which did a couple of things. People know, I think, about the Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurship. It got Florida State into downtown with that presence right along Monroe Street. And that's thanks to Brian and Catherine Ballard with that building and their gift. But it also, in addition to funding that school, many of those dollars, two-thirds of those dollars, stayed in the College of Business for the Jim Moran Institute. But that was a $100 million gift, which was obviously very significant. I mean, it was the biggest gift ever at the time to a public university in the state of Florida. I don't know if that's been surpassed at this point. But so that's going to be another thing that's remembered from this campaign. I can keep throwing out statistics for you. But again, it really is about the impact and what it does. And when you do a fundraising campaign, you're dependent on people who have an affinity to the university, a passion for the university, the means to support it in that way. And so we can't say thank you enough to the people that supported that, not just during the campaign, but I mean, there's plenty of people that have been supported for years and years. But as campaign manager, I'll say thank you to those who supported specifically and raised the torch.
Well, the Jim Moran building is beautiful. Not only is it right there and on Monroe Street in a main corridor, but it is stunning. And it's beautiful from the outside, but then you also walk inside. The architecture is great.
And I know most of Tallahassee probably hasn't been in that building yet since it's so new. It opened in the spring, but it is absolutely gorgeous space. And it's great for Florida State to have that presence downtown. It really is. And it's great, the School of Entrepreneurship, if you haven't followed, that's new too nationally in terms of what it was at a public university being a standalone school where you can major in entrepreneurship. And so Susan Fiorita's running the school, and she's doing a terrific job. And the Jim Moran Institute will continue its good work as well. But it really is good space.
And the School of Entrepreneurship is so important to the Tallahassee community because it's really snowballed this effect of more and more entrepreneurs coming out of Tallahassee. And we see the partnerships between the School of Entrepreneurship and with Domi, and then Domi's bringing in more business partners. And it really has, in the few short years, really snowballed this entrepreneurship environment in Tallahassee-Leon County.
Which is good. I mean, it should be there when you have... Florida State has 42,000 students, but when you get up to 60 or 65,000, mm-hmm. whatever the total is, when you include Florida A&M and TCC, that's a lot of young, very bright students with great ideas. Mm-hmm. And it's good that Tallahassee is fostering the growth of their ideas. I mean, it is, it's fun to see Tallahassee grow. I'll tell you, this is not the area we're talking about, but I was thinking about this in regard to this conversation. So when I worked at Channel 27, which is WTXL, it was across the street from where Childs High School sits now. And if you're here, you'll remember that. Now there's not a building there anymore. There's some television towers, which are actually WCTV towers now.
Right.
But there was nothing, when we worked there, the choices if you wanted to go to eat between the 6 and 11 o'clock news was to come all the way down to the Publix at Killarn or to go across the state line to JB's Barbecue. I mean, there was, and then they finally opened the Publix Bradfordville and there was a Subway there. But I mean, when you think about Bannerman Crossing and all that is new, It may not feel new, but 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it was not there. And there's so many folks that live out that way. So, I mean, it's not just Cascades and College Town and all the development that's taking place on South Monroe and on the South side. I mean, it's happening all over, and that's fun to see.
And that's what's exciting, to be in Tallahassee when it's going through a transformation, and to know too that it didn't just happen accidentally. You know, it took thoughtful planning and our governmental entities working with private entities and making the roadways possible so that then the expanded development could come into play. And you're right. I mean, you look at Bannerman Crossing in that uptown area. Thomasville Road used to be a small two-lane road, and now, you know, it's a major artery in our community. And then also that all of what's happening as a transformation in our overall Tallahassee and all throughout Leon County. And then that is being further complemented by what FSU is doing and leading the charge to make sure that the university stays a top university in the United States. So we're just so excited that you have played such a major part in that, and all of our educators that are really working to keep Tallahassee on the map and Florida State University as a leading institution.
Well, thank you for that. But there's a lot of folks, so that the credit for that gets distributed widely across campus. There's a lot of really talented people at FSU and in the administration, really, really all levels of Florida State. But I do think it's fun, and there's great energy at Florida State right now. You know, just in general, the trajectory of the university, I think, is as positive as it's ever been. I mean, the news came out about Florida State leading the state in four-year graduation rate, and not only leading the state, but it's the best mark in Florida's history in terms of that graduation rate. And FSU had 51,000 applicants last year, which was more than any, I know it was 10 or 12,000 more than applied to University of Florida. I think it was more than any public in the state of Florida. But regardless, 51,000 folks applying. I mean, word is out about FSU. The top 25 is going to come in pretty short order. Folks are confident about that. They 240 new faculty members were hired this fall. That's significant for a lot of reasons, but related to the rankings, it's significant because one of the areas where Florida State has not been strong is in regard to student-faculty ratio. And so if you bring 240 new professors in, that's gonna help with those numbers and help with those metrics. So, but beyond that, they're really strong and talented faculty members, so that would be the other obvious advantage. I just think, you know, it's an exciting time at Florida State. It's an exciting time for Tallahassee when you look at how things have turned around. And as you know, the one thing that is a challenge is that it's, you know, you have to intend to get to Tallahassee. As you know, it's not where Florida's population is. We don't have to talk about the airport situation, but it's not as ideal as what we'd all like. And so that's, to me, that's the next thing. And hopefully with everything that's you know, all the positive energy that's happening, hopefully that will follow, you know, in years to come.
I think it will with the airport.
Yeah.
It will. And just getting the airport designation of the international airport, you know, that paves the way for larger carriers, you know, more flights, those kinds of aspects that will hopefully continue this snowball effect the community.
Yeah, no question. And Florida State, through its real estate foundation, has been involved in the Gateway District planning.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the golf course is being renovated down to become a Jack Nicklaus design course. I mean, so I think if you project forward 5 or 8 or 10 years, it'll be a completely different literal gateway into Tallahassee when you do come into TLH. So that's another exciting thing on the horizon.
It is. It really is. Well, thank you for being such a major part of all this transformation that's happening.
Well, again, I appreciate you saying that, and I will pass out the kudos to everybody else who deserves their fair share. It's a fun time. It's an exciting time. The world is changing, as we know, daily, but Tallahassee is too, and it's for the better.
It definitely is for the better. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Tom. We really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to the Think TLH podcast from the Knight Creative Communities Institute. If you want to learn more or hear other episodes, go to kccitallahassee.com/thinktlh. Please also subscribe to the show through Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcast. While you're there, give us a review. And for more updates, follow us at K KCCI Tallahassee on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Check back every Thursday for another episode of Think TLH. Our show is produced and edited by Allison Levitt, and I'm Betsy Couch, and you've been listening to the Think TLH podcast from the Knight Creative Communities Institute.